This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome to Game Time. It's the new year. My name is Jeff Sandu, together with
Richard Bradbury.
Happy New Year, by the way, Richard.
Happy New Year to you too, Jeff.
And have you been playing any new games since the start of the year? Have you had any game time?
Yes, yeah, I actually have. It's not been new games, though. It's been old resurfaced games. Battlefield 1 has, gotten under my skin. And now that I've finally managed to figure out my control system and my settings, I'm actually okay with it.
And there's Overwatch as well.
There's a
few new updates on Overwatch.
New map, from what I understand. New competitive season started fairly recently. Mm. Our friend Dr. Jason Leong was saying about how good he is at it. I'm not so entirely sure that I believe him at that, but you know.
Anyways, we're only just at the beginning of 2017 and we already have a new Dota 2 champions.
Yeah.
In Team Digital Chaos after they took first place at the ESL 1 Genting event. And this is their first big tournament win since becoming Dota 2 team back in 2015 only. So
they made a fair packet of money, didn't they?
Yeah,
pretty good.
Very, very good. Well, they made $125,000 for winning the competition.
Oh my God. This is the kind of money I dream of, you know?
And it's happening just by playing Dota in that sense, right?
I need to figure out how to play Dota, you know?
They defeated opponent's newbie with a score 3-2. And the whole total prize money of the event was $250,000.
Wow.
And the one thing that I was actually really happy that it happened here in Malaysia, in Genting as well. Setup that I saw on the photo that was posted by one of the staffs in the event, the setup is amazing. It's exactly like what you would see in the internationals in that sense. Big stadium, huge screens all around.
Solid internet connection.
And just great all. It's nice to see esports tournament taken really seriously. And they've got, obviously, the commentators at the side. And they were really professional as well. And they have, it's not just them commentating. It's just even the style that the way that they dress up and the way that they
with
talk.
With the suit on.
With the suit and everything. It's very professional. It's very nice. It's very real.
We need that.
But the whole competition, it actually had a nervous start from my understanding, because there was a recent update to Dota 2. It's the 7.0 update. It had a huge change to the game and a lot of people actually worried that, it's taken off the competitive elements to the game. It sort of will be less interesting in
more
the tournament
casual.
Now. Yeah, it's a more casual thing. But apparently from the people that I've spoken to, once the event started off, it all just kind of the worries were just a no worry anymore. It just disappeared off because the tournament was a success.
I know we have a lot of Dota 2 players in the office and they were kind of grumbling a little bit about, the new update and one thing and how it looks. I don't know. I don't play it, so
We don't play Dota 2
We
as well.
Really should,
And the only reason why I'm doing this story is because, again, the start of the year has been a bit quiet because the gaming industry really was on a bullet train speed November, December.
Right.
Now it's just them trying to, relax a little bit before they start, kicking the engines again .
We're going to see a little bit more from Nintendo, obviously, later this year. They're pushing out the Switch. Obviously, if you've seen any of their latest advertisements, have you seen some of the graphics and stuff that they've done there? It talks about the evolution of the ecosystem. It's very nice.
It's very nice. Yeah. Very nice.
It looks just like a 1980s kind of advert, which is, I love that.
It's the nostalgicness.
Exactly.
All right. Just going back to the digital chaos now, despite great performances on both sides, it was actually a 20-year-old Roman resolution, Forminoc, who seemed to be a step ahead of everyone else, helping his team, Digital Chaos, not only to a 2-0 victory during the group stages, but also to beat his former team in the semis. Newbie were the only team out of the tournament's final four not to have received a direct invite to the competition, having gotten there instead as a result of a Chinese qualifier. Despite that, they actually managed to defeat the former TI6 champions, Wings Gaming, during the semis, and they even looked poised to take over the grand finals after going 2-1 in the first three matches against Digital Chaos. But again, the guy by his nickname, Resolution, that's his nickname. I would love to have a gamertag that says Resolution. My gamertag is just Jeff Sandu, it's so sad.
Right. Mine's just Mr. Rich as well, and everybody gets the wrong idea behind that as well.
Resolution, he had either ideas, he ripped Newbie apart in a pivotal game of four when everything seemed to be going Newbie's way. Resolution found pickoffs and put out the damage that was required in the team fights to push Newbie to back to their foot and force to a game five. And then he had a triple kill before the 30-minute mark outside of the Roshan pit, and that was enough and put DC back into the edge. And even in game three, where Digital Chaos got destroyed, Resolution actually still managed to stay more or less within his counterpart on the other teams in terms of the goal he was earning across the maps. And it's just like a hallmark of any other great player to carry in that position. Previously, people who have been skeptical of their performance, Digital Chaos performance, have been saying that their success in last year's Internationals 2016 was a fluke. Well, I think now that they've won the competition, got $125,000 in the bag.
They don't care if people think it's a fluke, do they?
You know,
I wouldn't
too, right? Why would you want to be concerned about what others are saying to you when you're out there, you started a team in 2015 and now in the start of 2017, bang, you've won your first.
Right. It's funny you talk about, you know, people talking about these teams and flukes and one thing. I was watching some video on YouTube the other day and it was about one of the big Dota 2 teams from the US. And it was showing the house that they lived in LA, which was by the beach, and they'd all got their own separate room and their own, you know, separate internet connection. I'm just like, I need me some of that money, man. You know, I really need me some of that Dota 2 money.
And also in January, CES 2017 happened.
It did.
And there was a lot of like autonomous cars and autonomous stuff going on. But there was one thing that definitely caught our attention was the Razer's insane three monitor 4K laptop thing.
And this is the question. Did it attract your attention for the right reasons? Or was it just like, holy moly, that's a laptop with three monitors?
Yeah, it was more of the second one.
Right, same.
The second one. I was like, wow, why would anyone want to do this?
And where would you carry that to? You can't sit in a coffee shop with that looking like...
I'm guessing it is catered to more like a person who probably has, you know, problems with space in your room.
Right.
I don't have a desktop computer in my room. I only have like an all-in-one simply because space is an issue. So I use like a laptop that I've kind of souped it up in order to play games. But I guess that is where Razer is trying to look at into is like, I don't think it's a mobility device.
I mean, logically, you're thinking to yourself, right, laptop batteries don't last that long anyway. You're throwing two extra monitors onto what's been pushed out as a gaming rig as well. So not only is the graphic, the GPU going to have to be fast, the CPU is going to have to be fast. You know, you have to have some kind of extreme battery life on this. But we know that's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's a prototype anyways. It's dubbed as the coolest gadget at CES 2017. It's a prototype laptop. So it comes with three 17.3 inches 4K display, so it shoots out 12K in that sense. And I'm sure you would have already seen it in, you know, people posting it on Facebook and stuff like that. It's dubbed as Project Valerie, and it's powered by the latest Intel Kaby Lake processor and also NVIDIA's 1080 graphic cards. Razer says the final version will have the two sides monitors slide out. Instead of, you know, manually doing it. Yeah. So it's actually, you know, bzzzt. If it had a sound and something, that would be amazing. Whenever you lift the laptop up, when you open it, it slides out. That'll be so
like
cool.
A kind of Autobot. But I mean, let's talk about price. Let's talk about, you know.
No price yet, but no price I think yet. You better start saving your money now or, you know.
It'll still be cheaper than an Apple.
Well, yeah.
More than likely. I mean, and that's a situation I'm in right now, Jeff. I'm almost on the cusp of jumping from Apple to not Apple.
Ooh, okay, but I think this will probably go up to more than 20K or so ringgit because we have gaming laptops that are, you know, 20,000 ringgit
Alienware and that
Alienware
kind of
and all that stuff, right? I think Lenovo has a few of them as well that, you know, you look at the price, you go like, whoa, what the hell? But like, I think Razer is looking at that kind of market, and I don't think they're looking at to sell like a million units within 24 hours and all kind of thing. I think it is really much on, you know, the hardcore gamers, people who have money to burn, one, because if you have 20,000 ringgit to spend on a gaming laptop, you have money to
burn.
You
have got money to burn.
And you're looking for obviously new kinds of gadget, and it's just cool. It's the coolest gadget in 2017 by a lot of people, and I think for me personally as well, minus the cars aside, I think it is one of the gadgets that you can find in CES 2017, which is cool. But it also has been reported that two prototype models were actually stolen from the Razer's booth in CES 2017. Wow.
So how many did they have on display?
I think they had four or about six. But the reason why it's all paired with two, because one is the sort of like the final version of how the device will look like, and one is the prototype of it being run in that sense. So they have two just because they haven't made one device. The final, you know, prototype unit hasn't been out yet.
Right, so they have
two units on display side by side. One is to show you, you know, this is the one where you can see how the keyboard will look like, this is how the monitors will look like. And then on the other side, which is the other laptop, where it can actually run and play games, and Battlefield 1 was tested on it, and you can see how the effects of having three 4K monitors on a laptop size screen works. But the hardware of it is different from what the final version would be like.
So gotcha.
That's why two of it were stolen, because I guess they probably stole, you know, one which looks like the final product and one that operates like the final product. So we got to get both of them.
That can't have been easy to sneak out of there, you know?
I beg to differ, though. I think, how hard would it be if you were to just, you know, get a Razer t-shirt that you can buy online from and, you know, walk into
a
booth and, you know, if you're carrying a Razer laptop
and a lanyard on
and you're wearing a Razer t-shirt, for me, I wouldn't know whether you're a staff or you're someone. So there must be something that happened within the event itself. There's no real details yet. The only thing that the CEO, Min Liang Tang, he said on a Facebook post that this is potentially an industrial espionage. He calls it sort of like a cheating in that sense. So I don't know. And they've put out a statement that if you know anything about this, and I'm going to share this information, just trying our luck if anyone here knows information, you can actually give the information directly to Razer. You can just email them legal@razerzone.com. Speaking of Razer, they also showed off Project Ariana, which is a conceptual gaming projector to deliver VR-like experience without needing a VR headset.
How on earth does that work?
So when it's pointed at the screen, Project Ariana's depth sensing cameras can expand the edges of the TV, or making your world, your gaming world, more experienced. So it's going to be, it's hard to visual how this will actually work. But I'm guessing is they're going to mix.
I should have Googled this beforehand.
I think they're going to be doing augmented reality combining with virtual reality, but in a projector. So you can see stuff projected onto a wall, onto your floor, instead of, you know, wearing a headset in that sense. I'm guessing that's how it's going to be. Like, that's how the final output is going to be.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
So they only just sort of gave hints of how it would work.
Looking at the pictures of this, I'm looking at Tech Radar right now. Oh my word, it looks incredible. But it just looks like a bunch of LEDs on the back of your monitor.
Yeah, that's how it's, you know, it's currently looking like. But it's not the final product at the moment yet. The great thing about it is that you can also work with other lighting products in your room. So if you've got like a smart lighting home system, it will sync up to your device. So if your character goes into like a rage mode, and, you know, not only the screen that the projector is, you know, going to be all red, but even the lighting system in your house will turn to a different hue, so that it feels like, you know, you are actually that character.
To bring it back to something we could relate to, I saw a fella doing that with his Battlefield game. He'd got like some kind of, like you say, a smart lighting system at home. He'd got his PC plugged into this smart lighting system, and his lights would dim and change color as he was moving around the map. It looks incredible, Jeff, but it also looks super, super expensive.
Now,
again, we needed some of that Dota 2 money.
Yeah, so you won't see Project Ariana until at least the end of this year, and you would probably need a new house.
Yes. Indeed.
We will take a short break. When we come back, we will talk more stories in the gaming world. This is Game Time, BFM 89.9. And we're back. This is Game Time. My name is Jeff Sandu, together with Richard Bradbury.
Hello.
So we all had Nintendo Game Boys. I had one, I think, when I was like about 12 years old till about, I think, 18 before
I never had one.
You never had
one? I never had a Game Boy. I always wanted one. I was always jealous of kids who had them. But I think I was kind of maybe a little bit too old for them when they were cool.
Especially, I think it became cool for me with the Nintendo Game Boy Advance, I think. With the one
that
would
have been,
color,
what, 99? Something like that?
I'm guessing around there. Somewhere around there.
That's when I was at university, Jeff. You know, so I... I couldn't have really, I wouldn't have been the cool kid at uni with it running around with a Game Boy, would I? You know?
Sorry to remind you about your age, Rich.
It's okay.
But
it's okay.
The NES Classic Edition that was launched recently, that seemed to be doing quite successful as well. And there were a lot of stories of people actually, you know, hacking into it and sort of opening up more games.
Yep,
you can actually put in more games than what initially came
Huge
with.
Reddit post on that. If you
crazy. It's a whole, well, if you're like a hacker or you love, you know, hacking into things and devices and all, get one of these NES Classic Edition because it's cheap. It's, I think, about like, you know.
I think Uma bought one recently.
Yes,
he did.
Yeah. So you can actually hack and do a lot of cool games. And yeah, like you mentioned, Reddit, there's a whole thread going on around it.
Essentially tells you how to hack into a Nintendo system. Not that we're encouraging that.
Not that we're encouraging.
Should you want to save some money.
Yes. Anyways. No. At CES, a team at Retrobit, they showed off a brand new souped up Game Boy that shares very much the same form factor as the original Game Boy, but it packs a lot more. So it will play original games from, you know, Game Boy, Game Boy Color, then the Game Boy Advance cartridges. And it has a 10-hour battery life and a shatter-resistant display.
Wow.
And it's only about $80.
Wow.
So it's all right, but I know the currently Malaysian ringgit, US dollars.
I don't even want to think about it.
$80 feels a bit a lot at the moment, but it's okay for a device like this. If you're planning to play all these retro games on the go.
What games did you play on your Game Boy then?
Oh, Super Mario is obviously the
thing. Of course.
I love Tetris when I was...
Of course, yeah.
Donkey Kong.
Yeah,
It's a lot of old games.
Was this a Game Boy Color?
No, this was I think the second edition of the Game Boy, if I'm mistaken. Yeah, it was a very long time ago. And it wasn't something that I bought because I was on the same sort of boat like you. I always envied kids who had it.
Yeah.
Fortunately for me, I had a friend who was a bit like Uma. He's very generous. So when he decided to buy the Game Boy Advance, I'd be like, hey, buddy, what are you doing with the old one? You know, I'm not going to use it anymore. It's like, oh, cool. Like, you know, maybe I could borrow it for a while. And obviously, he'd forgotten about
borrow
it.
Borrow becomes long-term loan. Yeah, long-term loan becomes mine. Right. I know those.
I'm sorry, Harish. I still remember you. It's still somewhere in my room. I bet you. Now, we all know Uncharted.
We do.
It's one of, I think for me, one of the best games in 2016. Great story.
Yeah.
And I keep telling people, like, that is the one game where I feel it's like you're playing in a movie.
I agree.
And there were actually talks about, you know, actually them making into a movie. And there is a guy named Joe Carnahan, who is the writer currently attached to making this dream of Uncharted being a movie a reality. And he actually just finished like the most current draft of the screenplay. And it's based on, he posted it on Instagram. And this guy, Joe Carnahan, he's best known for directing The Grey, where Liam Neeson was fighting the wolves and all that. And the caption to his post suggests that this should be a really, really good movie because he calls this newly completed draft a beast.
A beast. Okay.
So he was sort of like encouraging people to, like, you know, share with him any new stories or screenwriting scripts that is as good as this because this is a beast.
So if we're looking at Nathan Drake's character, right? Mm. Who would play Nathan Drake?
I don't know. I'm guessing the guy who's voiced Nathan Drake.
Did you ever see a TV show called Firefly?
Nope.
No, okay. It was a one-season sci-fi show about a ship floating around in space, and there was the guy who's the actor is a guy called Nathan Fillion. I'm quickly going to show you a picture now, which you should probably post on the page later on. This is Nathan Fillion.
Oh, wow.
That is Nathan Drake.
That is Nathan Drake, yes.
Right.
Nathan Fillion. I know this guy. He's one of those guys that you know how he looks like.
Yeah.
You've seen him around.
He is Nathan Drake. He needs to be Nathan Drake, you know?
And he definitely has the body as well.
Of course, of course. All right, right. Okay, there you go.
So
problem solved.
Yeah, we found an actor. We've got a script. Let's do it internally. But I'm really hoping that Uncharted, the movie, is a good movie.
Now, put
aside the fact that it's coming from a game and
there has never been a good game to...
Have you watched Assassin's Creed?
No,
because I've not been bothered.
Right,
just
Tomb Raider,
so
right? As much as we wanted it to be a beautiful
the
thing,
the only reason why I watch is because of Angelina Jolie and the way that she portrays the character that I used to play.
The
when
way
I was,
in which she portrays the character—that's your argument.
Yeah,
you just watched
course.
It because Angelina Jolie was in it. It's nothing to do with.
But it was Lara Croft, right? It was morally down to Lara Croft, and I would watch Uncharted movie because of Nathan Drake.
Right. The character that he is.
The character that he is. The same reason why I watched the first Tomb Raider, because, oh my God, it's Lara Croft going to be on screen. And what better way to have Lara Croft being played as, you know, and you got Angelina Jolie.
Right.
For this, though, I'm really, really, really hoping it's good, because the game, like, how much more better can the game be for Uncharted 4? Because it just felt like you're playing a movie.
It did.
So
it
how
genuinely did.
Hard can it be to actually just turn it into a movie? Assassin's Creed was a bad idea from the get-go itself.
Yeah.
I just never saw it as a movie.
Right. I mean, you've got big names attached to that, though. And you expected these names would go, okay, well, yeah, no, it didn't work.
It didn't work.
No.
Lara Croft, Tomb Raider, obviously you could see a movie element to it because, you know, it's treasure hunting and stuff like that. But Uncharted for me was just like, wow, this is a movie. This is such a good movie.
But
good,
you know,
script.
On the flip side, there's never been a game that's been made into a movie that's been good.
Never.
On the other side as well. Why is that, do we think? That's an interesting topic to debate at some point in the future.
Yeah.
Now, even the Star Wars games, you know, as much as we love Star Wars games, they've never really been brilliant. I mean, Battlefront is okay, it's a bit fun.
The worst I could think of is the... Is it Pixels or Pac-Man?
Pac-Man. Well, Pac-Man's great game.
Yeah, I know, but the game is good, but the movie...
Oh, Pixels, yes, Pixels. Yeah, terrible.
God, the movie, yeah. But, like, hopefully, this will be better. There's no news yet when we will be able to catch this in the cinema. I'm guessing soon, 2-3 years from down the road now. Anyway, if you're a PlayStation Plus member, and of course you are, because if not, then you've never been playing online games, and if, in the month of January, which is just a few more weeks left, there are a couple of great games that you can download for free. The first one is called Day of the Tentacle. It's a remastered game. This is an adventure game that goes by the name, the original name is Maniac Mansion 2, Day of the Tentacle. The story of the game revolves around a mutant tentacle which has escaped from a science lab and becomes a cause of panic and destruction to heroes of the game. So players will witness a faulty time machine which will make things even worse.
Okay.
And it's actually the game first published in 1993, and it's the sequel to the 1987 game called Maniac Mansion.
1993?
1993 is when the game was launched. And so now there's a remastered version. You can get it for free on the PlayStation store. There's one more game which I will share with you after the break. We're running out of time, Rich.
Okay.
We always have to take a commercial break because that's where we.
Do you want to make people make sure they come back after the break by telling them we have a giveaway?
Oh yes, we have a giveaway.
Yes.
If you're not a PlayStation Plus member, you should stick around because we will make you a PlayStation Plus member.
There you go.
And we'll give you 250 ringgit credit on your PlayStation account.
Now we can take a break.
All right. BFM 89.9. And we're back. This is Game Time. My name is Jeff Sandu.
My name is Richard Bradbury.
And yes, we teased you on the PlayStation giveaway, which we will do in just a moment. But before that, the other game that's free on the PlayStation Plus store, and I think you should have this on your library. It's called... Richard doesn't have this on his library yet. I just know it.
Did you download it already?
I have.
Okay,
I have.
Okay.
The game is called This War of Mine, The Little Ones. It explores the hardship of wartime survival as seen from an entirely new perspective of that is of a child. So the game puts you in charge of a group of adults and children stuck in the middle of hell trying to survive a besieged city, struggling with lack of food, medicine, and constant danger. The question is, how far will you go to make it through another day? So the game, have you played Fallout Shelter before?
Yes.
So the game is exactly like Fallout Shelter, but on a console. And it goes through every single day. It's to see how many days you can survive in that sense. So you have three characters when you start off with.
It's a Tamagotchi on console.
Yes, yeah, correct. So you have three characters in this house. It is a four-story house. One is a basement floor, and you've got like a it's a platform game, exactly like Fallout Shelter. You can move your characters left and right, up and down, climb up the stairs, and all that kind of thing. You go through every single day, just a bit like a Sims, because your character will say, "Oh, I'm hungry at the moment," so then you got to go to the you got to go to the kitchen and you got to make food. But in order for you to make food, you got to find resources.
Find resources, yeah.
And you can't actually escape out of your house because you will be shot dead because there's obviously threat. But there will be people that will come into your house and knock and will do trading with you. So whatever that you mine or that you farm at the backyard of your house or that you find things within your house, you can actually use that to trade with other items that you need. So when I was playing the game for about half an hour a few days ago, what I realized was like I needed a lock to unpick this this safe box that I discovered in my house. But I don't have a lockpick. However, there was a guy that came up to my front door and he actually has a lockpick, but then I have to trade with him. So then I have to decide what are the items that I would trade with
right.
him. So then I would trade him with maybe a herbal, a herbs, a flower, or, you know, bricks and stuff like that. So you would do trading and then the person will actually tell you, it's like, no, you got to try harder before I can initiate a trade with you. If you keep constantly doing this trading thing where it's more beneficial on you, you become more of a threat because the next time the person comes up to you, you know, you will face more difficult challenges. And so it goes through every single day.
You got to learn about balance, then, I guess.
You got to learn about balance and its longevity as well. So you go through day one, you can skip through the days if you want to, but when you skip through the days, your character will not eat, will not sleep. You got to pick, you know, which characters to sleep because you start off with no beds at all, so none of your characters can sleep. So then you got to find wood, and then you got to find cotton, and then you make a bed, and then from there you have one bed, so you have one person that you can sleep on the bed, so the other two will, one person will stay guard and one person will, you know, either sleep on the couch or the sofa, you know?
Right.
And then you start the next day and then you can see the progress that has happened during the night, you know, who has gotten the a well-rested sleep and who hasn't, and then what you can do after that. So if your character has lack of sleep, it takes slower to build stuff, it takes you know, much more longer process to, you know, find new items or just discover new items. So it is a very clever game. It's very simple.
But
game.
It sounds like normal everyday life, except and so, you know, I play video games for escapism. not to, like, you know, I don't know. I mean, when you first introduced this game, I thought you were going to be talking about another game that's available for free.
Goat Simulator.
Yes.
Well,
so let me just quickly tell people, you know, before we get into it. Goat Simulator is a third-person perspective action video game developed and published by Coffee Stain Studios, released originally back in 2014 via Steam. You play a goat in third person.
You know what, Rich? I'm a fan of simulators,
right.
And just like
I know you are.
You mentioned earlier,
you had the truck simulator, the farming simulator,
rollercoaster
again,
tycoon.
Back to real life.
Yeah, no. So I like games that relate back to, you know, real life environments.
Right.
It's being able to do things that I could never do. I could never, you know, drive a truck around Scandinavia. I could never fly.
You could never be a goat.
I could never be a goat. So that for me was like, ooh, goat simulator.
Right.
What is a goat simulator? What does a goat do? Right.
Right.
So I didn't want to spend 130 ringgit, 140 ringgit on this game, and I was very surprised and happy that it was a free game on the PlayStation Store if you're a PS Plus member. But I was utterly disappointed with the game. It is a complete rubbish game.
You see?
Rubbish.
You see, when you said you were going to download it the other day, rubbish. When you said you were going to download it the other day, I mean, I'd already looked at this a while ago, and I, you know, because it was blowing up on the internet back a couple of years ago, right?
Mm.
And I looked at it, and I just instantly dismissed it because it's not just about it being some kind of... It's so stupid. It's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, and I see the fun element of it. You know, you can smash everything up, but you can do that in a whole bunch of other video games, you know? And there's a comedy element to this, I guess. But for me, even if it's free, it's not something I would see myself
downloading. I feel whoever developed that game, Coffee Stain Studios, they need to pay me for downloading that game, even though it was free. Because it's cheating in the sense where you're calling it Goat Simulator. When it's nothing like a goat could do in real life. Like, the goat has a jetpack on it and you could fly around, you could crash into buildings, you could, you know, headbutt humans. And
right.
It doesn't make sense at all. Like, it's not a simulator. I'm I'm furious that they use the word goat simulator on this. I got conned, basically.
You need to be tweeting this, Jeff.
I will tweet, you know, Coffee Stain Studios and go like, hey guys.
This, like, is nothing like a real goat.
And I know what a real goat feels like, because I'm the simulator expert.
And ladies and gentlemen, that is how our 2017 starts. Jeff Sandu on a rant about goats.
Yes. Anyways, if you want to download Goat Simulator and the other two games for free, you got to be a PS Plus member. And if you're not a PS Plus subscriber yet, well, we have a special giveaway.
We do.
Thanks to Sony Interactive Entertainment Malaysia in this very, very special box. And I'm actually very jealous that someone's actually going to get it. And, you know, you will find 6 items in this box. The first one, a 12-month PS Plus membership voucher. It is worth 129 ringgit. We both
know
how pain this is.
Yeah, you also get a PSN prepaid voucher worth 250 ringgit.
Wow!
Yep.
So you could literally buy Battlefield 1 for free.
And play with us, yes, if you wanted to.
Nice. You also get a PS Plus micro USB cable. And my favorite of all is the PSN decorative sticker pack.
I know you're a big fan of your stickers.
I love my stickers, yeah. And you get a PS Plus LED light.
Yeah, and finally, you get a DualShock 4 holder stand. These things are very cool.
Very, very cool.
Especially you have a multiple. If you manage to get multiple DualShocks, because you will need them eventually.
Yeah, so basically all this stuff here, it is superbly amazing. And all you have to do to win this, it is so simple. Yeah. I couldn't have made this even more simpler than this. All you need to do is just tweet us at BFM Radio a photo of you showing how much you love your PS4. Please don't send us any nudity photos because we don't want that to happen.
No, we don't.
Yeah, we know you love your PS4 a lot. So just, you know, take a picture of you doing anything with your PS4 and a gaming-related BFM acronym. I've just sent out an example, so you can check it out on Twitter right now. It's at BFM Radio. I just posted a photo of me sort of like, you know, biting my controller for breakfast with the acronym Battlefield Feeds Me.
I should get on that. Maybe I could do a DualShock 4 holder stand, some decorative stickers.
You do know that we will do background checks on who is tweeting it, so you can't actually have, you know, multiple users.
No,
don't give them ideas, Rich. No. It's going to make our jobs even harder.
Get involved in this, folks. It's really, really simple. It's well worth it. It's our first giveaway as well. Yeah. We'd like to see how well it goes. Obviously, we could do with more friends on Battlefield as well, or whatever you decide to
buy.
Maybe you'll get free Goat Simulator and you can rant as much as Jeff does. Come and have some fun with us.
Yeah, definitely. Do get in touch. It's at BFM Radio. Just post a photo of how much you love your PS4 and a BFM-related acronym that is gaming-related.
Yes.
You can check out my example. I've tweeted it out. I'm going to get Rich to do one as well and tag BFM Radio so you can actually see Richard's example. Now, before we say goodbye, Hollywood actor Mark Hamill, of course, Luke Skywalker, as we better know. He's also actually the voice of the Joker in Batman Arkham, the video game series. We're going to leave you with a clip of Mark Hamill reading Donald Trump's New Year tweet in the voice of the Joker. This is absolutely brilliant. I love this. Yeah. It was so good.
It's so good.
It sent chills down my spine. Yeah. Yeah. So the tweet was, Donald Trump actually just tweeted out, "Happy New Year to all, including to my many enemies and those who have fought me and lost so badly they just don't know what to do. Love." Now, this is Mark Hamill reading it as the Joker. Enjoy. BFM 89.9.
Happy New Year to all, including to my many enemies and those who have fought me and lost so badly. They just don't know what to do. Love.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.